Khartoum, October 25th. Following a military takeover led by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, senior officials of the government were detained, including Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, who was put under house arrest. But after nearly a month of negotiations, the parts have reached a political agreement. Abdullah Hamdok has been released and reinstated as Prime Minister. But what does the 14-point deal signed in the presidential palace mean for the country's democracy? And how much power will the civilian government hold moving forward? I am Rasul Serdar in Khartoum. In an exclusive interview, the Prime Minister discusses the recent political crisis in the country and the way forward for the first time since the military takeover. Abdullah Hamdok talks to Al Jazeera.
Mr. Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very pleased to be interviewed by Al Jazeera, the outstanding news channel known for its professionalism. Thank you.
Mr. Prime Minister, why did you accept to come back as Prime Minister?
This is a great question, good for as an intro to this interview. When I signed that political agreement, I had a number of reasons in my mind. Chiefly among them is to avoid further bloodshed, namely among the youth. A second reason is that I am adamant to see the transition into democracy completed. That's why I was keen on reaching this compromise in order to pave the way for democracy and the civil rule. Another reason also is that the transition into democracy is the compass guiding all my steps. All these matters are intertwined. And above all, we have reached a political impasse within and without. And the political agreement we signed has the ability to take Sudan out of this dark tunnel and go back to the international circles, win back our respect within our regional and international surroundings.
How would you describe what happened on October 25th?
Let me start by defining what happened on October 25th. Cannot be described but a military takeover in an unconstitutional manner. Under all norms and terms, it is nothing but of a coup. This is my definition of what took place on October 25th.
So it's a coup, and now you're back to work with the team that you're accusing of conducting a coup.
All our choices as human beings are governed by what is possible. As I started this interview, when we reached this agreement, we had in mind one thing, is to pave the way for our country to get back on the course of transition into democracy and the civil rule. That's why we reached this compromise and we signed this political agreement.
Tell me about the days preceding the takeover. The relationship between you and military was tense. But some say that you were with dissolving the government. Is that true?
Before what happened on October 25th, there were a number of initiatives, a number of efforts. I myself presented two initiatives, one in June and the second on October the 15th. All the initiatives proposed were aiming at addressing the huge challenges we have been facing over the past 2 years, namely reforming the state institutions and the apparatuses during the transition period. This has been occupying the thoughts of all the active players, civil and military.
Mr. Prime Minister, can you tell me what happened on the night of the military takeover when you were arrested?
It was about 3:30 in the morning when a number of military officers, high-ranking officers, came to my residence, and they informed me that there has been a change taking place. At the beginning, I was told I would remain at my own residence under house arrest. However, 15 minutes later, those officers came back, and I was informed that a new decision has been made that I would be transferred with my family into the hospitality palace. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, my family and I were transferred into the hospitality palace, and we returned on the evening of the third day.
Were you concerned for your life?
I am confident that the assassination attempt on my life in March 2020, when I accepted the office, I was fully aware of the dangers and perils hovering over my head. And I believe that what happened on all the transitions has been at the expense of the people. For me, every sacrifice is worthy. The Sudanese people have sacrificed their lives, their blood, men and women. They have fallen as martyrs on the course of their journey, calling for freedom and democracy.
How does it feel to be free again?
Freedom is a very precious value. You know, one day in incarceration is a great humiliation to human dignity. However, if you compare it to other sacrifices by the Sudanese people, it is nothing.
Mr. Prime Minister, what about the fate of Forces of Freedom and Change? So they have nominated you as a prime minister, and now the parties in this civilian coalition are distancing themselves from the new political agreement that you just signed with Mr. Al-Burhan. So how are you going to manage it?
The Freedom and Change Coalition is the largest Sudan has seen in decades. It has been at the forefront of this glorious revolution. It will remain active, and there is no democracy without political parties. However, what is left of the transitional period mandates that all these political parties and functions are required to join forces, get engaged with the respective supporters, and get fully prepared to the election race. It is only the election that will take the country into permanent, lasting democracy, where the people will have their say and elect their leaders.
What about the protests on the streets? The resistance committees say they consider your agreement with Mr. Al-Burhan a betrayal after 40 people being killed and more than 200 injured. How are you going to convince them?
The political agreement was signed, was built in the first place on one fact. Over the past 3 weeks, I have been working on the political agreement simply to avoid further bloodshed. That's why I hope with this agreement we will end completely the bloodshed. As I said, every drop of blood is pressure. I fully appreciate the anger among the people. I know that many may differ, reject, or object to the political agreement I signed. However, I have no personal gains in the agreement. I am fully driven by the fact that we should avoid further bloodshed, put an end to all the violations. Every drop of blood, as I said, is very precious. Therefore, I hope together we can reach a compromise where we avoid further bloodshed and pave the way once again towards transition into democracy.
So from what you have said, we understand that there will be no member of the Forces of Freedom and Change in this new transitional period. Is that true?
The core concept of the upcoming government is that it will be a technocratic government made up of Sudanese qualified professionals. About 1.5 years are remaining of the transitional period, and the upcoming government, according to me, should focus on very specific issues, chiefly transition into democracy and the related obligations, namely convening the Constitutional Conference and holding the election as scheduled. You are fully aware that holding the elections will require at least one full year. It may drag on for 1.5 years, and what is left of the transitional period, I hope we can reach an agreement upon an independent technocratic government to lead the remaining part of the transitional period into the upcoming elections.
Have you consulted with the civilian coalition between signing the agreement with Mr. Al Burhan?
Although I was under house arrest, I was in constant communication with a large number and wide spectrum of the political leaders within Sudan. I had a very intensive talks with a wide spectrum of the people. And all these efforts and all these views came together in this agreement. The initiatives made by the dignitaries and wise men, the initiatives made by university professors, other initiatives were proposed by parties to the peace agreement, in addition to other group and individual initiatives. All these initiatives were melted in one political agreement.
Could you specify some names as facilitators and mediators? I'm sure that there must be some specific actors involved in this process.
There are a number of active players, activists, lawyers, politicians, dozens.
So with what happened on October 25th, how can you trust the army again?
The process of rebuilding confidence requires patience. It also requires all involved to transcend above what is written. We should engage practically to join forces, to join hands, to agree on the plan forward in absolute transparency and veracity. It also requires that we should all work on the pending issues with patience and seriousness in order to create the necessary atmosphere whereby we can trust one another. Over the past 2 years, there is no doubt there were a number of positives, and these positives can be built on, where gradually people can regain trust.
Mr. Prime Minister, how are you going to resolve the differences between the political parties? That was the major reason for the whole crisis, wasn't it?
We should not raise our expectations under the transitional period. In this manner, a large number of parties and factions will engage, find common denominators, find common ground, and reach an agreement and, if necessary, compromise. I believe the nationwide and the Great Coalition can rebuild its spirit and reshape its objectives in order to reach the election as scheduled.
Have you been given guarantees by the army that you will be free to perform your duties as Prime Minister of the country?
This is a key part of the political agreement I signed, that the Prime Minister should have the power and the authority to form an independent technocratic government with all the liberty and without any pressures. And this is what I signed for.
So, Mr. Prime Minister, the accountability. At least 40 people were killed and many injured, but also there are arrests and harassment. So how are those responsible going to be held accountable?
As I mentioned earlier, I pray to God Almighty to accept in His mercy the fallen martyrs. And one of the key issues in the political agreement is the necessity to initiate an all-out, independent, and transparent investigations for all the violations committed, killing, torture, and all other crimes and violations committed over the past period of time, and all those found guilty be tried before the court.
Well, Mr. Prime Minister, you have formed many committees in the past, and just a few have produced results. Why should people have any faith in any committee you form going forward?
I fully appreciate the state of dissatisfaction among a large number of the committees, namely the investigation committees that were formed and failed to arrive at final conclusions in their investigations. However, the issue of intensive, inclusive, all-out, transparent investigations will remain the key objectives. And when we form a committee, we do not interfere in their action or proceedings. They are independent and have the liberty to act in professional manners. However, swift findings should be arrived at in order to find those responsible and penalize them.
So how are you going to pick your ministers? Do you have the full independence to build your team as Prime Minister of the country?
I think so. I also believe that a large number of mediators and active players and all those who contributed to creating the current atmosphere and bringing the views closer together will have a bigger role and will continue to contribute while forming the upcoming government.
What about the political prisoners? What is their fate? They are supposed to be released, but is there any process regarding to that?
Another key issue of the political agreement was the release of all the political detainees. I will do all in my power. I will exert all due diligence, especially that today I was released out of the house arrest. I will do all in my power to have those political detainees released and enjoy their freedom of expression and fully practice their democratic rights. We will do our best and swiftly.
Is there a process and any timeline regarding the release of the political prisoners?
Yes, we addressed this issue, and there are promises that they will be released within a couple of days. And those days have passed, and I believe that they will be released and very soon.
Just to make clear, the army has said that several of them are facing the charge, and only they can be released by the court decision. And now, with this new political agreement between you and Mr. Al-Burhan, so they are supposed to be released without a court decision. Is that correct?
We are exerting all what we can. We are exerting maximum effort to see them released.
So, Mr. Prime Minister, justice. I'm not talking about the justice for what happened over the past month, but also the process of transitional justice as well.
This is one of the priorities of the revolution, to achieve justice and inclusive, lasting justice. Transitional justice, which means that we should all work together to achieve this justice and see justice administered and served to the families of the victims. We also should see this justice allowing our country to move forward. And in this context, we should conjure up the past experiences of Sudan and other peoples, Rwanda, South Africa, etc. However, we are all guided by the fact that Families of the victims must feel and see justice truly served.
Sudan has more than one army and several armed groups. So the political declaration that you signed with Mr. Al-Burhan spoke about creating a formula to unify the army, and also it's speaking about the security sector reform. How are you going to reform the army while the army is so much in full control?
We started working on that particular issue, also forming a one uniform, unified army, national army, with a new combating doctrine. We cannot be back on our feet again unless we have a one unified, uniform army and we have democracy restored in order to maintain Sudan's territorial integrity, its riches, resources, and above all, to safeguard the constitutional rights and allow the civil powers to function.
So, do you have a certain timeline for the transitional period, such as the Constitutional Court and the Transitional Parliament? And more importantly, do you have any timeline for an election?
With respect to the elections, yes, we agreed upon the fact that the elections will be on or before June 2023. The choice of who rules will be left to the people under the ballot box, free and transparent, by the end of this period.
Mr. Prime Minister, now you are the Prime Minister of a country that the protests are still ongoing and the violence still being used against people. Just while heading toward the building of the Prime Ministry here, I have seen people being tear gassed. If anyone is killed or harassed, that's going to happen in a country that you are the Prime Minister. How are you going to accept it?
This political agreement is initially built on one fact, avoiding further bloodshed. Therefore, I believe that no further blood should be shed. Peaceful demonstrations is a lawful right, which was snatched by our people through their continued struggle. We will continue to defend and safeguard this lawful right. And I respect all those who took to the street today and the days forward, whether those in agreement or against the political agreement. It is their lawful constitutional right to agree or to disagree. And that's why we hope to cement the traditions of democracy where difference can be accepted. We need to see free people expressing their opinion freely and in transparency in all possible peaceful manners. We will continue to defend and safeguard this right, even if we are in disagreement.
Mr. Prime Minister, you signed a deal. And your three people present there, Mr. Army Chief, Mr. Al-Burhan, and the head of Rapid Support Forces, Mr. Hameti, and you. You looked quite alone. Do you feel alone, or do you fear that people will leave you because many of them feel that you have already left them?
I'd like to speak frankly here. I don't have any personal gains to remain a figurehead or to join a particular group or a party or to have higher popularity. I'm all driven by the responsibility placed on my shoulders and the ambitions and hopes of the Sudanese people. That's why I made up my mind and I signed the political agreement, although I am fully aware that large numbers of the Sudanese people may differ, object or reject the agreement because their expectations are higher. However, I would like to reiterate that I do not have any personal gains in the political agreement. Otherwise, I wouldn't have taken the office in the first place with all the challenges and problems over the past 2 years. Therefore, I'm not worried by the issue of personal gains or my personal status. The decision I made, and I believe it was a correct decision and to the best interest of the people, that's why I moved forward and I signed the agreement.
Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
Thank you.